Again, as Brother Jeff said, my name is Gus. I think I know most of you. So thankful for all of you staying put and not bum rushing the door when Brother Jeff said that I was preaching. I appreciate that. But yes, I am thankful for all of your support throughout my seminary journey. Thank you all so much for all that you've done. I know you've been praying for me, many of you even this week. So thank you so much for that. And hopefully I will continue that this morning. If you would like to find the book of Ephesians this morning, chapter 2, we're going to be reading in verses 17 to 22. And I know what you're all thinking, man, I was really looking forward to continuing in the Old Testament. Brother Jeff was just so excited about it, I couldn't steal it from him. So I decided to go to the New Testament this morning. But as you're turning there, I want to try to paint a little bit of a picture for what's happened in the beginning part of this passage for you without having to go back and read all the way through. I enjoy woodworking, many of you know that. And when we do woodworking, I'm quite convinced that all I do is take smaller pieces of wood and join them together into bigger pieces of wood, and that's about the extent of woodworking. Maybe that's why mine's just really bad, but that's what I do. And so when I make a cutting board, I take little strips of wood and put them together into one big board. But when I give that to somebody, they usually don't say, oh, thank you for handing me a bunch of small strips of wood. That's not what they usually say. They say, thank you so much for a cutting board. It's now a new thing. So Paul has already addressed this. When Jesus came, through his work on the cross, he became the peace that we needed. He brought the Gentiles into the fold and made one new body. It's no longer just Israel versus the Gentiles or vice versa. He has now became the peace and he has made one new body. And as we look at our passage today in verse 17 and following, he is proclaiming the peace that Jesus has already came, he's already established, and he's continuing to talk about and give more details about this one new body. So hopefully you are there with me. We'll begin reading in verse 17, and it says, and he came, and he preached to you who were far off, and he preached peace to those who were near. This idea of preaching peace to both groups, we see this being both the Gentiles and the Jews. So the Jews were very near to God. They were near to the covenant promise that was there for the Old Testament. Paul talks about this earlier in the passage, if you'd like to look back up as well. But those who were far off were the Gentiles, those who had no hope of the promise in God. Praise the Lord that he came and preached peace to them, because that's most of us in the room as well, that we can have peace found in Jesus Christ, and it's only found in Christ. But what's important about this peace is it's not just a peace between you and a holy God that has been able that we can restore that relationship, but it's also peace for us between one another as well as believers in Christ. We're all part of the redeemed. We're all able to experience this peace. And so thankfully, that's how we can live together in Christian community. And I think that's what this verse continually talks about and what this passage talks about for us today. So it's one of the things that we're going to focus on. And so as we're looking at this community, verse 18 says, and for through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Now, this is one of the greatest passages in all the New Testament because we get the full picture of the Trinity and how it works together in the gospel to restore our relationship to the Father. This idea of access in the Greek is almost a picture of somebody introducing you to somebody very high. So like being introduced to a king or a monarch. And so we see this idea that Jesus has introduced us to the Father and we have this access through the Holy Spirit. In fact, there's a little bit of an idiom here in the Greek that means face to face. We have face-to-face interaction with God the Father because of what Jesus has done and through the Holy Spirit. We see that in our prayer life. We can pray to God through the Spirit because of what Christ has done. We have the Spirit living inside of us. We also can get a response back most often through the Word of God, where the Spirit helps us illuminate the picture of the text so that we can understand what he's trying to say. We can have a face-to-face relationship with the Father because of what Christ has done on the cross, because of how the Holy Spirit continues to work within us. So I hope you don't miss that. I think so often we read through this passage and we see that we have access to the Father, and we know that because we've grown up in church, but we don't see how amazing it is that because of the peace that Christ gives, we can have a real restored relationship with the Holy God, and we cannot take that for granted. And so because of that access that we now have, we are no longer strangers and aliens. He's talking here to the Gentiles again. He's reminded them in verse 12 earlier that they were once strangers and aliens. They had no hope in God. They had no rights in the land. But now they are fellow citizens with the saints. So this idea of strangers and aliens, again, most of us don't think in these terms, but strangers was the idea of somebody passing through a land. So maybe you've traveled through somewhere, you've had rights based on a passport or some treaty or something where you could pass through a place. But it's very different than being at home, where you have all the rights and privileges that you have being part of your nation. It's very different. Have you ever lived in a place that's far off? That's very different as well. You're almost on pins and needles the whole time, no matter how great the country is that you're living in, because it's not your home. There are rights that people that are natural citizens of a place or that became citizens of a place have that you don't have when you're there. And so there's always this idea of back and forth. And we don't think about that too much today, but in this context in Ephesus, they would have known about citizenship. Roman citizenship was a big deal. Having the rights and privileges that came along with being a Roman citizen was something that people looked forward to. And so here Paul is promising them, through Jesus, a citizenship that's never going to fade away. That country is never going to go away. It's in the redeemed kingdom of God with the family of the saints. And so here he continues on by saying, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. The fellow citizens is, again, this with. We are a part of. We're not separate off in our own little room over here. We are fellow citizens with all the redeemed. That idea of the saints there is the redeemed of Christ, both old and new, that will continue to be. And we are fellow citizens with them. And we have access to the Father. And that makes us citizens and part of the family of God. Now, not sure about you, but in my household, I have roles and responsibilities. You probably do as well. How do we live this out, being a part of the family of God, being a part of the household of God, the kingdom of God, in practical life? I don't think it's enough to just say, well, we're enough of, you know, the all over and arching church. We're a part of that because we're now believers. We're part of the family of God. I think it's lived out in a local church context. That's how we practically live that out. And so just like in my family where I have roles and responsibilities, we here at Parkway, we all have roles and responsibilities that we play. We have stuff that we're a part of. One of those that the New Testament basically assumes is that we're going to be a part of a local body of believers and we're going to be known by that body of believers. So what does that look like? The best example that I think I can give you is I love to go out and eat at restaurants. It's just one of the things I like to do. I like to spend time with people. And there's many restaurants that I go into that it's more of a transactional experience, right? I go in and I order my food and they bring it to me and then I eat and then I leave. And if it was great service, I leave a tip and then I walk out the door. But there's a few restaurants in town that I go to regularly where I am known. I walk in the door, they know my name, they see my car pull up, they probably start fixing my order because I'm generally a creature of habit. I don't change my order at all. Usually I walk up to the counter and they go, do you want your usual? How's your week going? What's going on at Parkway? Like, they know. In fact, one of those places asked me about Jeremy more than they ask about me. So we're known there, right? If I have that in a restaurant, how much more so should I have that in the church? How much more so should I not be known by my family here at the church? But all too often, we treat it almost transactional, and we come in, and we sit in a chair, and we sit in a pew, and we're here, and we speak to the people around us, but we're not known. We're not allowing them to be a part of our lives. And why is that? Well, the folks at the restaurant want to encourage me. When they asked me where I've been, why they haven't seen me, it's not so that they can shame me for where else I've eaten. It's so they can know that I'm okay. What's going on? How have I been? The same thing's true when I go see my in-laws or my family that I haven't seen in a while. They usually say, where have you been? But it's not in an aspect of shame of why haven't you come to see me. It's how have you been? What are you doing? I've been so worried about you. I want to know how your life is going. They're invested. They want to encourage us. That's the picture of what the local church should be. And if you're truly known by a body of believers, that's what we do. One of the perks of that is encouragement that comes from being known, truly, fully known by those around us. We want to be a part of your life. We want to know what's happening. And it's one of the things that Parkway is really good at. I have been blessed to be surrounded by such a great group of many of you that want to know how my school is going. You want to know how my day is going, my week is going. You want to pray with me and my family. Thank you so much for that and continue doing that. I think it is so wonderful being a part of a body of believers, but we have to truly commit to that and be known. And I think one of the reasons we don't is we're worried about the other side of that, which actually is a benefit, but we don't see it that way, is being held accountable by people. So if you don't truly know me, it's hard for you to hold me accountable in what I do. But if you truly know me, you can hold me accountable. You can check my actions when I'm out of line. When I am talking, when I'm not supposed to be talking, usually in staff meeting, Brother Jeff says, hey, stop talking now. That's good. It's what we're supposed to be doing. And it's never done in a way of shame. That's not what the church is for. We're not here to shame you into behavior. We want to help you grow more and more like Christ. And that's what this is a picture of, how we're a part of the local church. And so you have to be a part of a family of believers, be truly known and sold out in the local church. That's how the rest of this verse is lived out practically in your context. So for us, now that we are fellow members, citizens with the saints, and members of the household of God, what does this look like? Well, that household is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, is what verse 20 says. The apostles and the prophets here, looking at Old and New Testament, that foundation has already been laid. And so when we look at a building, many of you know much more about construction than I do, so I'll keep it to the simplistic form that I know. We don't relay the foundation all the time, right? Once the foundation is laid, it has been laid. So we don't have to continue going back to that. And we have it here. We have the text. We have the scriptures, both Old and New Testaments. You have the apostles and the prophets. You have their teaching. And that foundation that was laid for the early church continues on with us, and we continue to build onto that. But the most important part of a foundation, especially in ancient architecture, was the cornerstone. So here we see Christ Jesus as the cornerstone, or the chief cornerstone, your translation may say. And the cornerstone was laid first and foremost. It was the first stone that was laid. The rest of the foundation was actually referenced off of that. So I mentioned that I'm a woodworker. I have many reference surfaces in my shop. I have levels if I want to know if a thing is level. Most of the time I just cheat and use my joiner bed, which isn't level, but we're just working off of something. I have a square if I want to know if things are square. And I reference all the way through the project off of those items so that at least in reference to those, it's right. The same thing's true with this foundation. The apostles and the prophets were building only on what Christ Jesus had already preached, which is the peace of God that he has came and he's brought. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that this peace is much, much more than what we think of with the word peace. We think of just a lack of hostility. When you actually look at the idea of the word in the Greek and even in the Hebrew in the Old Testament, it brings about the idea of well-being, wanting the best for somebody. And so when you look at what is wanting the best or wanting God's best for somebody, it's what Christ accomplished on the cross. You're wanting the gospel for those around them, and that's the foundation that we're building the church on. It's the foundation that Christ Jesus himself is building upon, and we have to be a part of it. We have to reference everything that we do off of the cornerstone, which is Christ Jesus, as we continue to build up the building, or the building will never stand. For us, we don't really think about that. Most walls are just kind of facades that are stone here. They're not actually load-bearing, but back then, the wall, the stones being stacked on themselves meticulously, that's what held the building together. Everything was structural, and Christ Jesus had to be the cornerstone that was holding all of this together. So as we move from the foundation, we move up in the building. Verse 21 says, in whom, which again is Christ, the whole structure is being joined together and it grows into a holy temple for the Lord. The whole structure there is looking at the building. Paul's going to kind of transition in verse 22 to the idea of looking at individuals. But for us, when we think about the dwelling place of Christ, we tend to think of individuals, right? Because we're believers in Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells us. And I definitely think that's true. Scripture says it, so I can't go against that. But I think what Paul is looking at here much more so is the idea of corporately. When the local church gathers, when the body of believers gather together, the Holy Spirit indwells that and allows us to do oh so much more than we could accomplish on our own. We're becoming a holy temple. We're set apart for the Lord, that only he can dwell here, and he must be our focus. The whole structure is focused on Christ, and it's being joined together meticulously. Again, I mentioned the stones were very carefully fitted together, and if a stonemason spent so much time to carefully fit these stones together, how much more so is a holy, loving God taking time to fit all of us together into a wonderful body of believers so that we can grow together as a church, continue to serve our community, and use the resources he's given us here to continue to serve wherever he will send us. This is a church that is very mission-minded. We spend a lot of time going out and about and trying to do all that we can to serve the Lord where we are, and we need all of you to help with that. If it's just a few people as we go, we eventually get tired, we wear out, and we don't all have the best resources and skills. It's already been brought up to me this week, and I didn't think about it with the Thanksgiving bags. I just put rolls on there, not thinking that rolls don't last for 3 weeks. Luckily, some of you had that skill, and you pointed that out to me. And without you, where would we be? We'd have a bunch of rotting rolls in the old office over there. So thank you so much for what you do. And it just shows that we all have to work together. We all have to be a part of this as we go and we serve and we continue to move. But again, I want to focus on the idea that it's in whom the whole structure is being put together, that in whom is Christ Jesus. So without Christ, none of this is applicable to you. You don't have that peace with other believers. You don't have the idea of being knitted together into a foundation and into the building of Christ because you're not a member of the family of God yet. You have to trust in the grace that God gives through Christ Jesus and his work on the cross. Paul spent an entire section here in Ephesians chapter 2 talking about that while we were sinners, he sent his son to die for us so that we could have this access, the restored relationship to a holy God, so that we could all work together and be built into a holy dwelling place for the Lord, so that we can continue to be a part of what Christ is doing here in our local context and also around the world, being a part of the church. Verse 22, again, I've mentioned Paul kind of swaps over, looking from more of the building to the individuals. And he says, in him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And again, this is just a place where the Spirit of God is going to dwell. And the more that we look at that in a corporate context, I think the more powerful it is. Scripture clearly tells us in all kinds of places that the more of us there are, the stronger we are to work together, the more skills and talents we have. Again, I'm a fairly average woodworker, but many of you in here are really great woodworkers. And so that skill, you can teach others. We can continue to be in mentorships, discipleship aspects of life so that we can continue to grow in much, much more than our woodworking, but in our lives for Christ and how we continually relate to one another and enjoy the peace that is found only in Christ Jesus. And so often of the times, I know Brother Jeff gets this a lot. I've even been asked, I work with college students, and so a lot of college students were asked, well, why should I join a church? I'm only going to be here for 4 years. Why should I come and just sell out here and not jump around? And I never want to do it in a way that shames them or talks bad about another church. That's never the point. But the point is my own personal experience and what Christ is trying to tell us. When I was going to churches that I could easily slip in and out of, nobody knew if I was there or not, I wasn't growing. I didn't have any accountability. I didn't have anybody that was helping encourage me. I was just transactionally coming in. I would leave some offering in the plate and walk out. That doesn't help us grow spiritually. It doesn't help us to continue to push forward in what Christ has given us. But when I truly decided to take time and sell out and be a part, luckily that was here at Parkway, instantly I started getting people asking about me. If I missed a week, they wanted to know where I had been. And again, it wasn't trying to shame me. It was, what's going on in your life? Is something wrong? Can I help you? One time it got around and told to a couple of our senior adult guys that I had a flat tire and I didn't call them. And I was in big trouble because I didn't call them to come and help me when I was in need on the side of the road. Like, those kind of things are what the church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be serving and loving on one another. And when you're truly known, you're truly sold out in a church, that's how you find that. So for us today, practically, what can we do, right? I think if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's first and foremost priority, right? The rest of this doesn't matter. If you don't lay the foundation correctly, if you don't look at the cornerstone that is Christ Jesus, this doesn't matter. So if you are today here, you don't know the Lord, hopefully you have heard the gospel, hopefully you'll go back and continue reading. If there are questions that you have, if there's something that you're wrestling with that's keeping you from faith in Jesus, I hope that you will wrestle with that. I hope that you'll address that. Spend time in the Word of God trying to answer those questions. Now, at some point, there's an aspect of faith in our relationship that we can't have all of our questions asked. Please know that up front. But start wrestling with it. Don't just sit there and allow your questions and allow these things that you have to hold you back from the peace that Christ is trying to offer you and the peace that you can have with other believers and with a holy God. Don't allow those things to hold you back from what is coming and what you have to look forward to. But if you are a believer in Jesus, then what does this mean for us? I think practically we are called by the New Testament, especially in this passage, to be known and be a part of a local body of believers. Now, Parkway is a wonderful church. I'm on staff here, so I have to say that. But Parkway is a wonderful church. It was my church in college. I've loved every second of getting to be back here. There's so many loving people in this congregation, and I almost would say this morning there's a very small chance that you didn't get greeted when you walked in the door this morning. It's something that Parkway is known for and is great at, and they truly care about you. So if you don't have a church home, we would love to have you here at Parkway. There are also lots of great Bible-believing churches in this area. We would love for you to just pick one, be known there, sell out there, and be a part of what God is doing. We have to be effective members in God's kingdom. We have to be effective stones in the wall that Christ is trying to build. Nobody ever just looks at a random stone sitting on the side of the road and goes, man, that's wonderful over there. But when it's a part of a wall, it's doing good things. I have lots of scrap pieces of wood in my garage, and when you walk in and look at it, you're like, man, this is a mess. But when you put them together into stuff, you see the beauty that they can become. That's what's important. That's what Christ is trying to do. So if you're not a part of a local church, we'd love to have you here. We'd love to have you plug in and find a church home, not only so that we can hold you accountable, and that sounds scary, but also so that they can encourage you, build you up, and help you on in all the hard things that are happening in your life. Because we are promised that our lives are going to be hard. There's going to be storms that come. You need those people to encourage you and help build you up. You can't do it on your own. Please plug in and be a part of a local church. And lastly, maybe you are. Maybe you're sold out in the church. Maybe you are a cornerstone here at Parkway. Maybe you are a part of what's happening here or at another church. Continue on what you're doing. Continue encouraging, discipling, mentoring. I can tell you 100% that I am where I am today in my faith with Christ, my vocation, even today, because there were a group of men in this church that took time to invest in me, care about me, and encourage me all along the way. And I'm so thankful for that and eternally grateful for that. And I know that our college students, our young people here in this church are the same. Please continue what you're doing. Don't let anybody discourage you in your mentorship, your discipleship of those around you as you continue to learn and grow closer to Christ as well. There's so much that we can learn from each other just in our body of believers here at Parkway. Do all that you can to sell out and be a part of that. And if you choose not to do that, you choose not to be a part, you're also not only robbing yourself from those things, you're robbing others of what they could learn from you as well. Sell out, be a part. In closing today, I just want to encourage you. We're about to do a song of response. We're about to pray. If you need to do work with the Lord, please do it now. Brother Jeff will be down here. The rest of our staff, I'm sure, will be here that are in the room. Just come ask us questions. Ask those next to you if you need to ask somebody a question about Christ. But do your searching. Find your relationship with Jesus. Do all that we can to be there. And then if that is you, you come to faith in Christ, I hope you'll find a church to be a part of. And again, we'd love to have you here at Parkway. If you don't have a church home, please come be a part of what God's doing here at Parkway. We'd love to love on you and encourage you in all that is going on. Let's pray together this morning. Father God, thank you for the amazing Word of God that we can build our lives on and that you are building us into your church and your people of the redeemed. God, thank you for the peace that we can have with those around us and with you because of Christ's work on the cross. Help us not to take that peace for granted. Help us to actually see that we need that peace. We need to be in community with others. And you would not have done all that you did to restore that peace and give us access to the Father if it wasn't worth it for us. Help us to truly take your word seriously and to do all that we can to be in community with others. It's in your name we pray. Amen. If you'll stand with us this morning, thank you so much.